know that the trying your faith worketh patience. So it's a knowing mind. You know what bothers a lot of people is when they're caught off guard. You know, I don't particularly like snakes, but I'm not like mortal afraid of them. I'm more mortal afraid of a mouse than I am a snake. I'd much rather deal with a snake as a mouse. But this last year, I got a big old black snake in my building. And I seen him two or three different times from a distance. Amen. And I'd look at him and he'd look at me and I'd think about killing him. And I guess he thought about killing me. I don't know. But I got to thinking, that old black snake's eating them mice. And I hate them mice worse than I hate that black snake. So I let him live. And me and him come to an agreement, Brother Gary. I'd let him live in my building as long as he didn't scare me. And he left a big old skin laying out over two hooks on my wall. That's nice. Amen. I said, you know, don't want you to scare me. Well, one day my side-by-side pulled up against the building. And so I went to get in it. And there was something in the floor of my side-by-side. And it was Mr. Blacksnake. And I frightened him and he frightened me. And our deal went out the window. I shot him. And I eliminated him with much prejudice. And I was glad to watch him die. But here's the thing. As long as I could see him, it really didn't scare me. It was the being surprised. It was the jumping out, you know. It was the being surprised. That was what bothered me. Well, James is saying, look, so that you'll not be surprised, I want you to know ahead of time trials are coming. And yet somehow we know that, and yet somehow when trials come, we go, I can't believe that happened. When we ought to go, so, well, I seen that coming. The Lord said trials is cut, and here we are living in a trial. I knew it's going to be this way. Because James said, these are things that we can know. Now, let me give you a few things right here about this. Let me tell you this. This is a truth. This is something you should know. Your faith is always, always going to be tested. God tests our faith that He might bring out the best in us. So if you're going through testing, God's not doing that to harm you. He's doing that to help you. Amen. He's doing that to bring out the dross. He's doing that to make something out of you. He's doing that to prove to you who you really are. And when you go through trials, He's always got a plan. Faith is always tested. Let me say this. Testing works for us, not against us. 1 Peter chapter number 1 says that the testing of trying your faith, I may be more precious than gold, but tried in a fire. I'm going to tell you that God tries us not to be against us, but that He might be for us. And let me say this to you. Trials rightly used will help you to mature spiritually. Now, I want to show you something right here. James said that if you'll... Whose candy is this? Don't eat that. Just unwrap you another piece. All right. James said, listen, God's going to try your faith, and what's going to be the result of that? The result of that is that it's going to bring about patience. Now, I want to show you something about patience. Did you know that patience is the first thing that a child has to learn? Now, what do you think about that? You say, no, preacher, a child learns to walk, or a child learns... No, the very first thing that a child has to learn is to be patient. Because none of that comes quickly. None of the other lessons in life come quickly. They all require patience. So the fundamental thing that a kid's got to learn before it learns anything else is how to be patient. Now, would you agree with me this morning that a mark of immaturity is impatience? I had Samuel walking with him around before the service started. He's my little buddy, and I think the world of him. He just a little old fella, though. Guess what? Don't have much patience. I'll guarantee you that. None of them little fellas got much patience. They want it now, amen. And they don't want to wait on anything. They want it now, amen. That's a mark also of spiritual immaturity. People don't have patience. Let me tell you something. Spiritually, if you want to advance into greater lessons for the Lord, your first thing you're going to have to learn is how to be patient. And so James said, in order to teach you how to be patient, the Lord puts you through trials where you can't do nothing about it. Now all you can do is wait and pray. Wait and pray, wait and pray, wait and pray. And just when you think it's going to get better, things go worse and you have to wait and pray again. And the whole time God is trying to make something out of you because he's trying to teach you patience along life's way. So there is the word know and understanding mind. I got to hurry. There's the word let. Look what the Bible said. But let patience have her perfect work. Now, we talked about the word count. That's a joyful attitude. We talked about the word let. That is an understanding, or no, that is an understanding mind. Now we're going to talk about this word let, which is a surrendered will. Now here's where you've got to get in life, and this is where I wanted to preach. I want you to listen to me. Tune in right here. I'm getting ready to be done. If you want to turn your trials into triumphs, you say, preacher, I'm in this trial, and I sure would like for it to be a triumph. What you're going to have to do is submit your will to God's will. How many of you agree with me right here? I lived a lot of my life as an adolescent in rebellion toward what mom and daddy wanted me to do, even though it was what was best for me. And so I was continually in learning mode. And what it was is they wanted to break my will. Amen. When I went into basic law enforcement training, I had haircut about like this. First sergeant looked at my hair. He said, hair's a little long, Boone. I said, my hair, sir? Yeah, a little long. Probably ought to go see the barber. I went and got it cut. Stood in formation the next week. He looked at me. He said, hair's a little long, Boone. I said, my hair, sir? Yeah, probably ought to get cut. Finally, one Sunday in the basement of Beverly's house, I said, get your clippers. Put it on a one and just buzz it off. And I went in there and I stood the next day at formation. He come through, he said, now that's a haircut. Why? Every one of us standing there cue bald, bald. Kind of like, you know, Major Payne said, you're going to walk like me, you're going to eat like me. Until I make something out of you, you're going to be bald like me. It's all about breaking will. Because as long as we've got a will on what we want to do, they can't mold you into what they want to mold you into. It's the same way with the military, it's the same way with anything. That's why they cut your hair off. They want you to look like everybody else, and they want to prove to you, look, I'm going to shave your head, whether you like it or not, because it's a process of breaking your will. God puts you through that same process. I feel some preaching right here. Hey, we'll just say, this is the way we want, Lord bless goodness, this is what we want done, we want done. Now this is how we go done. Mine, me, I. God said, you ain't going to go very far like that. God said, that hair's a little long, son, you're going to have to cut that. God said, hey, your will's a little strong right here. So what happens is testings come, trials come, in order that God might put his thumb on us in a way of breaking our will. I had intended this morning to preach on pride out of the book of Proverbs, but I'll mention it right here. I may preach it tonight, but I'll mention it right here. I believe a whole lot of the problem that we've got in this nation and a lot of the reason these things are coming upon us is because we've got a stubborn will. Our hearts is hard against God. We've got too much pride, and God is trying to put these trials and tests on us that he might break our heart and turn us back toward him. a surrendered will. Look at what the Bible said here in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Watch this. I'm right now done. It said, for by grace you saved through faith, that not yourselves is a gift of God, not a works lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Watch this. This is a little outline. When you boys preach this, be good. There is the work that God does for us. That's salvation. I don't have anything to do with that. You know what? Oh, I can't get up. Yeah, I can. You know what I did to be saved? I just put my trust in Christ. Now, I'm going to give you something. You study all this on your own. We'll not get real deep into it. You study this on your own. Where in the Bible did anybody ever pray to get saved? Now, Peter, he cried out, Lord, save him. He was sinking in water. Where did anybody ever pray to get saved in the Bible? We go through this sinner's prayer. Show me that in the Bible. Now, you say, preacher, you mean you hadn't ought to pray to get saved? No, it's fine to pray when you want to get saved. But what I'm saying is, it ain't that prayer. It's not what you say. It's not how you act. It's not how much you beat the ground. It's the trust that you put in Christ. That's what saves you. And God does every bit of the rest of that. So he lays out here salvation. That's the work that God does for us. Then he lays out the work that God does in us. That is his workmanship. That is sanctification. He's making something out of me. But then there is the work that God does through us. That is service, and that is our job. And if we're going to be good at that job, we've got to surrender our will to his will. We've got to run up the white flag of surrender. We've got to say, yes, sir, whatever you want. It's what I want. I want to be lost in you. I want to be enthralled with you. I don't want my will. I want your will to be done. Then I'm going to work with this. Let's look at this word ask. I'm done. We've seen the word count, a joyful attitude. We've seen the word know, an understanding mind. The word let, a surrendered will. Then let's look at this word ask, and I'm done. Look at verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. Wisdom. Ask. Ask for wisdom. Now, I was talking to a preacher a few weeks ago, and he said, the most unusual thing happened to me. He said, there's this lady that's been coming to my church. She got cancer, and said she's had cancer. There's 3 or 4 different kinds, different treatments. Just seems like every time she starts to get better, she gets another kind of cancer. And she said, he said, it's even worse because her husband died last year. And so she said, she's had a husband to die, now she's got cancer. He said, her life is just all to pieces. So I stand at the back door of the church last Sunday, and she started out. He said, Miss So-and-so, I'm praying for you. So she just stopped right in her tracks, looked at him, and she said, can I ask you what it is you're praying about? He said, I'm praying that you'd have strength and that God would heal you and that you'd, she said, let me help you, preacher. She said, I'll tell you what I want you to pray for when you pray. She said, I want you to pray that I'd have wisdom because God's trying to teach me something and I ain't learned it yet. James throws wisdom, Brother Gary, right in the middle of this stuff about trials. He said, if you're in a trial, if you're facing a temptation, I would have thought James would have said right there, Brother Neil, ask God to get out of it. Ask God for help. Ask God to deliver you from whatever trial or trouble that it is that you're facing. But that's not what God, that's not what James said. James said, if you're in a trial, if you're in temptation, he said, beg God for wisdom. Look at God and say, God, what is it that you're trying to show me? What is it that I need to know? What is the lesson that you're trying to impart unto me? God, make me wise. James said, when troubles come, ask for wisdom. I'd ask you something. What are you learning out of what you're going through? What are you learning? Some of you remember, I never would have dreamed in all my years, Miss Sandy, that I'd end up pastoring a bunch of folks that came to the Christian school. Because I left that in about as big a mess as there ever has been. I tell you, that was purgatory. I don't believe in purgatory, but that was close. Oh, let me paint a picture for those of you that don't know. They hired an 18-year-old kid, wet behind the ears, to be the principal of the Christian school. Now, I had Cody and Summer and these others. And I wasn't but about 4 years older than them. So you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go out and play just like they wanted to go out and play. And so I'd be like, well, get her work done. I'd say, here, let me help you. Get outside. There's a football game to be had. Now, let's get this over with. Parents mad and aggravated. And I had fun. And boy, by the time that was over, I said, bless goodness, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me. Oh, woe is me. This is terrible. But you know what? I learned lessons during that I've used over and over and over again while pastoring people. So I learned about dealing with people. I was just a kid. I never had to deal with people in my life. I was just a kid. People jump on me and I go. I learned about, hey, if you'll say this to them, they ain't so mad. I've used that in pastoring. So God put me through a trial. At the time it seemed terrible. But all he was doing was taking me to school. He said, you're going to use this rest of your life right here, son. Pay attention right here. You're going through this. Pay attention right here, boy. You're going to learn something right here that's going to help you down the road. I never would have thought about pastoring a church like this and being as old as I am. But throughout life, Brother Neil, different things that I've went through, I've learned. I've learned. And I've learned. I'm not nearly as dumb as I used to be. You say, thank God for that. You know what teaches you things? Trials. You don't learn lessons in easy times. You learn lessons in hard times. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm getting ready to get an altar call. We're fixing to learn a lot about our nation. We're going to learn a lot about it right in the next few weeks. I ain't gloom and doom. I ain't trying to scare you. I'm just telling you, we're going to learn a lot about our nation. We're going to learn about what kind of people we are, what kind of resolve we have as a nation. But most importantly, it might be that during this time you would learn something about you. It might be that God would teach you something about Him. It might be that you could learn something about how to handle trials and troubles and tribulations. But you'll not do that without asking God for wisdom. I started this message today with a prayer for wisdom. I'm going to end it with an invitation for you to come. We prayed for wisdom for our leaders. We prayed for wisdom for our emergency personnel, doctors. I'm going to end it this morning with an invitation for you to come and pray for wisdom for yourself. There's some of you are going through trials that none of us even know anything about. God's trying to teach you something. And what you ought to do is get down before God and say, God, make me smart right here. Lord have mercy. I don't want to miss what you're trying to teach me. Give me some wisdom. Allow me to know. Let's stand our feet. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for helping us preach this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd turn our trials into